ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। तथा सुरान अविशद आसुरेण रूपेण तेषां बलवीर्यम् इर्यन् उद्दीपयन् देवगणांश्च विष्णोर् दैवेन नागेन्द्रम् अभोदरूपः। Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. Purport. Everyone in this material world is under the different modes of material nature. There were three different parties in the churning of Mandara mountain. The demigods who were in the mode of goodness, the demons who were in the mode of passion, and the snake Vasuki who was in the mode of ignorance. Since they were all becoming tired, Vasuki so much so that he was almost going to die. Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered into them according to their respective modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. Hare Krishna. I'm very sorry. You're seeing me again in a matter of 2 days. But this Bhagavatam class was scheduled. My Sunday feast was not scheduled. So I'll speak something. I tried convincing some devotees to speak today, but thinks everyone wants me to speak Krishna Katha. So at least on Vyasasana I will speak Krishna. Otherwise, very difficult to speak about Krishna as soon as you get out of Vyasasana, at least for me. So we are discussing this wonderful section of the churning of the ocean of milk. I was just thinking that this whole section of Srimad Bhagavatam is so popular that it is not the first time we are hearing about this, even as devotees. This has been heard and referred even people know who are not devotees also. In fact, the glory of this is also spread outside India. Recently, one devotee sent me an email with an attachment of a photo. And it was about... And it was a new airport which had come in Thailand. And in that airport, a whole big diorama of Samudra Manthan was displayed in Thailand airport. And they had displayed also churning of the ocean by the demons and the divine, something like that. So in Thailand, which at least from current scenario, we know that there is no Vedic culture there. But we can see that Vedic culture was everywhere spread and people knew about this. It's a popular thing. Even in Thailand also they are displaying this. And even there's a famous temple of Vishnu in Kampuchea. So there also this Angkor Wat is there. And then a huge wall is dedicated for Samudra Manthan. It's a very long, where in between there is this display, this small carving of Mandara mountain, and on each side this side demigods and the other side demons. Carving is special carving is there. So it's a very popular thing even outside India. And what to speak of India? We have a major festival in India dedicated to this festival, this particular section, the Kumbh Mela. You see, Kumbh Mela, millions of people come there without advertisement. They come there to take bath, take that dip on the auspicious day where they say that at a particular configuration of planets, the Amrita comes back again into the waters. It's a very popular festival. So we are dealing with a popular section. Nonetheless, when we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, we actually understand the real import of this Samudra Manthan chapter. The real import of Samudra Manthan is not to get Amrit. The real import of Samudra Manthan is to get Krishna Amrit, the Amrit of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. So we can see that Srila Prabhupada is focusing in the purport about how Lord is helping here to churn the ocean of milk. And it is not like the Lord is helping in this particular translation for the first time in this particular section. No. Throughout the whole section we are hearing that how whenever there is a problem, Lord is there to help. So this is the wonderful nature of the Lord. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tells Arjuna to say this, that pratigya tava govinda nav bhakta pranashyati, that a devotee is never perished. Krishna always protects his devotees. And we are seeing this theme lingering again and again in this particular section, that Krishna protected his devotees, the demigods. And Krishna's protection is unique. And you have to actually need Prabhupada's purport, Acharya's purport, to know how Krishna protects his devotees. First, Krishna protected the demigods by taking everything away from them. Because demigods, whose representative was Indra, he became very puffed up. He was unnecessarily proud of his position. And he happened to insult Durvasa Muni's Mahagarland. And the result was Durvasa Muni cursed him. And not just Indra, everyone, the demigods, lost their position. So that was Krishna protecting them subtly from false pride. But when they came to their senses and they realized that we made a mistake, and they approached Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu was not saying them, okay, now you are eternally damned to hell. That's what the concept of many religion is, that there is only one human form of life, and you make a mistake, you go to hell. And you are good religious, you go to heaven. But we don't find this concept in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Vishnu corrected them by taking everything away from them, and when this Lord saw that they were showing the signs of repentance and they wanted to improve, Lord Vishnu helped them. In what way? He chalked out the whole plan. What should be done? The whole plan of Samudra Manthan was the genius idea of Lord himself. And then he told how to act on it. Okay, so now you go and declare a truce with the demons. And even though you don't like them, be friends with them. Because it's very important. When you become friends with them, you'll get the nectar of immortality. And then he told, also cautioned them, that in the due course of churning, many other ingredients will come. So don't get attached to them. The goal is not the ingredients. The goal is the nectar. Be focused. So Krishna is giving instructions and guidance. A foolproof plan was given to them. And then also told what exactly are the ingredients needed. That means he is giving a plan. He is giving a master plan. Then all the ingredients. And he is going to supply the ingredients also. So he told them, okay, lift the Mandara mountain. And then put in the ocean of milk. But when the Mandara mountain was being lifted and the demigods and demons are finding it difficult, the Mandara mountain was crushing on their heads. Again, Lord appeared and lifted the Mandara mountain. So again, Lord is coming and helping his devotees. And then Mandara mountain is on the ocean of milk. And then Lord says, okay, now you get Vasuki. He is the best rope for churning. If you read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, Lord Krishna says, of all the opulences, he also mentions, of serpents, I am the snake Vasuki. So we are not saying that Krishna is Vasuki, but the ability of Vasuki has come from Krishna. So even that ability, which Vasuki was provided by, has come from Krishna, and Krishna says, okay, get the Vasuki, and use it as a churning rope. And then, when the churning begins, about to begin, it is on the demigod side, the first person to hold the churning rope is Lord himself, Ajita. So we can see he is changing so many positions. He is taking the position of Lord, then he comes down also as one of the demigods and also helps in churning. And when the Mandara mountain is not able to, is not resting properly, then he himself goes as Kurmadev. and on Kurmadev's whole the body, the whole Mandara mountain is standing. And then when the churning begins and the Mandara mountain is shaking, it is not exactly churning straight, but it's like a lot of motion is there, all sides, horizontal, vertical, all sides of motion, which is not good for churning. If you want to churn, you have to be very steady in churning. So then Lord Ajita, who is now also pulling, he himself goes and stands, sits on the top of the mountain and holds the mountain with his thousand hands. And then what happens later? Lord himself comes as Dhanvantri and he gives the nectar. And amazingly allows the demons to snatch the nectar from him. And later he comes as Mohini Murti and then he delivers the nectar to his devotees, demigods. So we can see this wonderful section, how Lord is again and again coming and helping his devotees. So through this section, as Prabhupada is emphasizing here, that Krishna is actually helping the demigods. In this particular shloka, Lord, in the translation it is mentioned that how when everyone is tired, the churning is not easy to churn the ocean of milk, it's not an easy thing. When they are tired, the strength also is given by Lord Vishnu. So what is there now which anyone can be proud, a demigod or demon, that they have churned the ocean of milk? Everything is done by Lord Vishnu himself. Yet the best part of Lord Vishnu is that he does everything but also allows or gives credit to the person who is involved in the churning. So it is never that the whole, as it is popular, the story is popular that this churning of ocean of milk was done by whom? Demons and demigods. But actually who is doing it? Lord Vishnu is doing it. So Krishna allows, Krishna actually does the work, he is the doer, but he gives credit also. I remember one time our Shavantru gave a very nice example that a writer, he writes a book and then the book, in the front page, he dedicates the book to someone, say his wife or his friends or family or someone, some person. You never find a writer dedicating his book to the pen which he used for writing. He never used that. Why? Because it's an instrument. I have written through the pen. But Lord Krishna, he does everything through his instrument, the living entity. But yet he gives all credit to that instrument. That is the greatness of Lord Krishna. So then we should, therefore we can learn very wonderfully from this particular section that how Krishna is the real doer and we are all insignificant. And when we realize that we are insignificant and accept that Krishna is actually doing everything through us, then we perform real devotional service. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj mentions in one of his books, he recalls a very wonderful incident which happened in his life. It is his greatness that he recalls Prabhupada's chastisement to him. It is mentioned that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had 2-3 incidents very famous which he would regularly recollect and write. And all those incidents were regarding Prabhupada, how Prabhupada chastised him. Never he spoke about how Prabhupada glorified him. So that is greatness. So one such incident he mentions that how he was sitting in one temple and Prabhupada says that this whole universe is such a gigantic universe. And in that universe there is one small planet somewhere down the line, Earth planet. Insignificant planet in this whole gigantic universe. In the whole Earth planet there are so many oceans, so many continents, and there is one small country, India. Insignificant. Compared to gigantic universe, what is the size of India? Nothing. Insignificant. And in the India, there are so many cities. And there is one city, small city, called as Kolkata. And in Kolkata, in so many cities, there are so many buildings. And in that one building, there is this ISKCON temple. How insignificant it is. And in the ISKCON building, there are so many people. And of that, there is one insignificant Tamal Krishna Goswami who thinks he is very great and doing big things. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj recollected how Prabhupada put him into place by saying that how we are all insignificant compared to the gigantic universe and the size which Krishna, actually it comes from Krishna's pores. We are very insignificant. We are not the doers. And when a living entity accepts, understands that it's Lord's will and he's just an instrument in Lord's will, then he'll be happy. There won't be a problem in his life. I was hearing a lecture of Kadam Kanan Maharaj, and he was mentioning in his class once that once a person came to him and asked that, "Have you seen God?" So Maharaj told him that, "I may have not seen God, but I have seen God's hand in my life." So devotee is not interested in seeing God, but devotee is actually trying to visualize that Krishna is helping me so much, Krishna's hand is so much in my life, let me see that. So the journey from conditioned soul to a liberated associate of the Lord is nothing but understanding Krishna's hand in our life and executing His will. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was once mentioning that when he was a child and he was taken to a rabbi priest when he was 13 years old for some, I don't know what in Jewish tradition they call it, simple bar mitzvah. So he was taken there and he was told that mother requested the rabbi that he should teach my child a prayer. So Maharaj mentioning that he was praying, but he did not know what the prayer meant and how should he pray. So he went to the rabbi and asked him. And the rabbi was very much moved that someone has come and asked. No one comes and asks what is the meaning of the prayer, how should you pray. So he mentioned very nice that this, how, what is the mood of praying. He mentions that better to pray to God for strength to overcome temptations, difficulties, doubts in order to do His will, rather to pray for Him to do our will. So this is Krishna consciousness. All traditions, all religious traditions have this essence that a living entity finally realizes that he has to become an instrument in Krishna's will. Let Krishna act through me and let us be grateful the way Krishna uses us. So this is something which we have to learn. We can learn from this. But amazing part is that it is so obvious in this pastime that Krishna is helping through and through. The whole party is seeing it. Yet, pashyan api na pashyati. People are not able to see. All the concerned party, demons and demigods, they are only interested in that nectar. They are not seeing that real nectar is Krishna's lotus feet. If they achieve that, then there is no need of other nectars. But Krishna allows everyone to exercise their free will, doesn't interfere. And Krishna allows that, let them come gradually, using their free will to Him. So here, we can see that like in this incident, in this section, Krishna is again and again revealing that He is the one who is doing everything. Even as when all the 14 ingredients came out, and one of them was Srimati Lakshmi Devi. She was the most beautiful lady, and everyone wanted her to be their wife. But she came and put the garland around Lord Ajita. And all proclaimed that it is Lakshmi Devi, and ultimately is Narayan. But yet, Pashyana Pina Pashyati, could not realize. And they went on to get that nectar. So therefore, a devotee is not interested in such ordinary, mundane thing as a nectar, which can just give some extra number of life. Prabhupada said, what is this nectar? This Amrita. Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela, and he was mentioning this Amrita. People are running after this Amrita, taking a bath. But this Amrita will just open the door of liberation for you. Prabhupada gave an example that if you go to a house and the door is not open, you cannot enter the house. But if the door is open, you can enter the house. But you have to go through the house. Just if the door of the house is open. But if you don't endeavor to go to the house, what is the use of going, of having the door open? So door to liberation is open, but unless that endeavor is there throughout our life to understand Krishna's will, we will not able to reach to that door of liberation. So Amrita, taking bath in Ganga or the confluence, is to open the door of liberation. But devotional services takes us from the place where we are to that door. And the door is open, then we can enter. So, we can learn from the life of Srila Prabhupada, in the same, that Prabhupada, how he was fully executing Krishna's will. Prabhupada was a transparent via medium of his spiritual master. What is transparent via media? Transparent, it's a transparent glass. A transparent glass is that glass which lets all the light go through it. no reflection, no deflection of light, allows all the light to pass through. Similarly, a devotee, when he executes Krishna's will, he becomes a carrier of Krishna's potency. And Srila Prabhupada was carrier of Krishna's potency. Prabhupada would always consider himself to be a puppet. Prabhupada prays also in the song when he reaches, before reaching America, that Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao, Simathe. That I am a puppet in your hands, Krishna, make me dance as you want. So, that is what we can get. Either we can decide to have our own will and ask Krishna to provide for our will, and in that way we may be blessed materially. But if we enjoy material, then we have to pay a bill later for all the material enjoyment. Or on the other hand, we execute Krishna's will and get amply rewarded. And what is the reward? That reward is that Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. Of course, a devotee of Krishna doesn't want to control Krishna. But Krishna becomes so happy that someone is executing his will that he becomes his man. So, I was just going through one book of His Holiness Loknath Maharaj. He has written a very wonderful book on this Kumbh Mela. And I thought maybe I can go through the book and speak something on this particular incident. I was going through this Srimad Bhagavatam also, and I was thinking that how this Kumbh Mela has come up. Is there any relevance in given Bhagavatam, where I saw that any purport Prabhupada has not written anything about Kumbh Mela. And there is no translation which mentions that the nectar fell into four places. So I was a little inquisitive to know how it happened. So I turned to this book, and it is mentioned that in the Puranas, it is mentioned that the details is given that when Mohini Murthy gave Amrit to all the demigods, and when Rahu was beheaded, that time Lord assumed his own form, and there was a terrible fight which took place with demons and the demigods. At that time, this pot which was there, Kumbha, it had some Amrit still left. So while during the fight was going on, and everyone's focus was on that Amrit, especially the demons who had not received that Amrit. So it is mentioned in Padma Puran that Loknath was mentioned that Indra's son Jayanta, he took that Kumbha and started fleeing away. And then the four demigods were helping him. The sun planet was there, the moon planet was there, Jupiter planet was there, and Saturn planet. This all, as demigods, they were helping to protect Jayanta from. And all the demons are coming behind him to attack him and get the Kumbha. So while this whole thing was running, this whole running scenario was going on, at one point of time, these four demigods and Jayanta could not resist the demons. So therefore, they had to fight. They had to stand and fight. So that time, Jayanta kept this Kumbha down. And there was a fight which took place for 12 days. And then the fight was over. And then again, the Kumbha was picked up by Jayanta and he started fleeing. And again, the demons followed. So what happened is, when Jayanta took the pot, lifted the pot and he was fleeing, some Amrit fell from the pot. And this happened at four places. At four places, Jayant could not resist the demons, so he had to fight for 12 days. And then he lifted the pot again. And then he ran again. And finally, he kept the pot with him. But four places, the Amrit fell. And these four places are in India. One is Haridwar. And other is Ujjain. And third is Prayag. And fourth is Nashik. And it is mentioned that these 12 days of demigods refer to 12 years of human beings, of fighting. So, at the interval of 12 years, there is a Kumbha, Purna Kumbha, I think some Kumbha Mela, Mahakumbha. Ardha Kumbha takes place 6 years, I think so. So, Mahakumbha Mela takes place every 12 years. So, this is Padma Purana version, and also Adbhut Hari Prabhu was mentioning in his last class about Mahabharata's version, that the same story, but in this version, in some other time, that Lord Vishnu gave the pot for Garuda to take the pot to heaven, heavenly planets, from the battlefield. And Garuda also had a desire to give that Amrit little to her mother also, his mother also, who was having a curse from her co-wife. So he had wanted to release her mother also, his mother also. So during that time, the demons are following, and same thing happened. The Amrit fell. So that is the whole idea. And it is mentioned that exactly at those times, the Amrit reappears. And therefore, the people are there thronging in millions at a particular time, constellation, to go and take bath, to experience the Amrit. Srila Prabhupada also went to, he never missed Kumbh Melas. In Prabhupada's preaching career, especially when he was preaching in the West, from 1965 to 77, it is mentioned that two times Kumbh Mela took place, Ardhakumbh and Mahakumbh. And Prabhupada actually went there both the times. It was once 1971, Prabhupada went. It was Ardhakumbh, and 1977, when Prabhupada's physical body was frailing, still Prabhupada went for the Kumbh Mela. And Prabhupada's idea was very clear. Why we are going there? Not for the nectar. Prabhupada said, they are going for nectar, but what for? The nectar will keep you in the material world. We are going there because we are getting an opportunity to preach. So many millions of people are coming, all religious and pious people from all over India. One place. It's a beautiful time to preach and distribute books. So Prabhupada had told all of his devotees to go and preach there. So that was Prabhupada's idea about Kumbh Mela. That is to preach in Kumbh Mela. So it is mentioned that when Prabhupada was there in Kumbh Mela, it was very, very cold. And it was so cold that Prabhupada saw the many devotees who were not even able to come out of their sleeping bag in the morning. They were missing many Mangala Aartis. So Prabhupada was not happy that we have come for preaching here and we are preaching through our morning program. So Prabhupada himself would come out, and in the icy watery tap, he would open the tap and he would sit down under the tap and he would take bath. And everyone saw that, then they were inspired. Prabhupada, with his failing health, he's still in the open air in those times, he's taking a cold water bath. Even though all the facilities there in his tent for him to take a hot water bath, he's taking a cold water bath. And he would attend morning program every day. Mangalarti would be there. And seeing that, devotees got inspired and they came out and they would regularly attend Mangalarti. So, one time, so Prabhupada gave the plan also how to do preaching there. Prabhupada said, you should go for Harinam every day, do book distribution, do prasadam distribution. And Prabhupada told Maharaj, Loknath Maharaj, to arrange for a bullock kirtan party, which the duties will be kept on the bullock cart, and the bullock cart would travel all over the Kumbh Mela, and they would preach, kirtan will go on. So one time when Maharaj Loknath Maharaj was arranging this bullock carts and the whole cart was ready, then Prabhupada came to see these bullocks. And on the bullock cart, there was huge written, bullock cart, Bhakti Vedanta bullock cart, Sankirtan party. And it was very huge, like this. It went all the way like this, all over the whole cart. And Prabhupada could not see it like this. So Prabhupada was seeing like this. And he read, bullock, Bhakti Vedanta bullock cart traveling party. And by the time Prabhupada finished, his head was from left side of shoulder to right side. And Prabhupada then said, very nice. And Prabhupada picked up some bundle of grass and fed it to the bullock, patted the bullock and said, they are not going to take birth again. They will all go back to Varad. These bullocks will go back to Varad because they are carrying Gaur Nithai with them. So this is real nectar. The bullocks were able to go back to Varad by serving Gaur Nithai, and everyone coming there were getting some Amrita nectar, so called, by which they will maybe increase their span in the material world to enjoy. So Prabhupada, in this way, was teaching to all devotees that the real nectar is Krishna consciousness. And by preaching about Krishna consciousness, we are sharing nectar to others. So while Prabhupada was in tent, many people came to visit him. And there was one person who was a Ramanandi Pandit. So he came to visit Prabhupada. So Prabhupada asked him, so you have come to Kumbh Mela, have you taken your bath in the Sangam? And he said, Swamiji, I don't require to take bath. Then from his bag, he removed a plate and a lota of water. He placed the plate under Prabhupada's lotus feet and immediately bathed Prabhupada's lotus feet with the water. And then he said, this is Sangam. This is real nectar. And immediately all the devotees jumped and grabbed all the nectar which was coming. So this was Prabhupada, how Prabhupada showed the real nectar is in pure devotees' lotus feet and not in some ordinary nectar which is coming. So we can thus see that from this chapter that Prabhupada is emphasizing that the whole point is to execute Krishna's will and see Krishna's hand in our life. And when we see Krishna's hand in our life, we can become instrument in Krishna's hand and we can do something, some devotional service, and we can ultimately attain salvation. Since there is some time, I was thinking I will also discuss about a festival which happened yesterday. That is, Odan Shashti was yesterday. So that is the time, am I right? Odan Shashti was yesterday. So Odan Shashti is the time when in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath is given winter clothes. So previously, when there was no climatic changes, abrupt changes of climate, even a day was fixed when the winter would actually begin show its real nature. So Odan Shashti is the time when actually winter becomes very much cool. So therefore at this time, on this day, there is a function in Jagannath Puri where the pujaris offer special dry and winter garments for Lord Jagannath every day till the winter is over. And there is a ceremony for this. It's called as Odan Shashti. And we also see there are so many pastimes connected to Odan Shashti. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He saw this Odan Shashti festival and he was not happy that these pujaris of Jagannath are offering this dry garments, but they are not washed. They are starched garments. So how can you offer such an impure article to the Supreme Lord? It is against the vidhis of deity worship. So he was not happy. And he told Ramananda Rai about this, that I think so, someone should go and tell the pujaris, they should offer pure articles to Lord Jagannath. Should not offer contaminated articles like a starched clothes. So Ramananda Rai told that actually it's Jagannath's own desire, and these are all just executing Lord Jagannath's desire. So we should not interfere. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi was thinking that maybe it is not good. Ultimately, Krishna should be served in the best way. So he was contemplating how we could go and tell the pujaris that he should follow the right system. But before he could go to the pujaris or he could deliver the message, a special incident happened in his own life. In the night when Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sleeping, Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra came in the dream. And Lord Jagannath and Balaram were chastising Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And they were telling him that how dare you even insult or even criticize my devotees. It is my desire to wear such clothes and they are just executing my desires. How can you interfere? And they started beating Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was having really a tough time in the dreams. And in the morning when he woke up, he saw that his face was swollen. The dream actually had come true. But unlike someone else who would just cry, he was in ecstasy. And he went running to Ramananda Rai to tell that, oh, I was beaten by Lord Jagannath and that I have come to right conclusion. Lord Jagannath likes it. There's one more story about Shripad Ramanujacharya coming to Jagannath Puri. And Shripad Ramanujacharya was a very well-known acharya. So his coming was a very popular event in Jagannath Puri. Everyone respected him, worshipped him. And then he sees this Odan Shashti festival and he sees those same garments and he thinks that this is not good. We should have this proper Vedic rituals to be organized in Jagannath Puri. What is this? Suddenly Jagannath Puri, there is no time board available there. That at this time, this aarti will happen. At this time, this dressing will happen. Sometimes aarti and dressing takes place in front of people, public. Generally, we have dressing and the altar is closed. But in Jagannath Puri, you keep going and they will keep dressing Jagannath also in front of you. So this whole spontaneity is there in Jagannath Puri. And then there is no sleeping time and there is no waking up time fixed. It all depends on Jagannath. That's what the pujaris say. So Ramanujacharya wanted to fix up all things, proper schedule of times. So then Lord Jagannath did not like this. He was happy being spontaneously served. So he came in the dream of Ramanujacharya in the night and he said that, why should you interfere in my matters? This is how I want to be served. And immediately it is mentioned that Ramanujacharya was picked up from Jagannath Puri in the dream and he was ejected from Jagannath Puri. And the morning when Ramanujacharya, who had slept in Jagannathpuri, in the morning when he got up, he was somewhere in South India, in Kurma Kshetra. And then he realized that I have made a mistake, and because I seem to have offended devotees of Jagannath, so Jagannath has kindly ejected me away. But he has not rejected me, so I am in a dham now. So he was in Kurma Kshetra, where he established the worship which he wanted to establish in Jagannathpuri, he established in Kurma Kshetra, the place where Lord has taught us was worshipped. So this is something about Oran Shasti and whatever I could speak on this. Hare Krishna. Any devotee has any comments? We have some 5 more minutes. Any comments before Guru Gaurampu asks a question? Yeah, you can give a mic.
Hare Krishna. Regarding the nectar part of it, one time we were in Nasik Kumbh Mela, so I have doubt whether devotees, apart from preaching, we do the preaching and can we also
take bath?
Go to take bath or things like that?
Yes, you can take bath, no problem. Prabhupada went and took bath, so you can follow in footsteps of Prabhupada. So since we are going there, we cannot be not following the etiquette which is there. Everyone comes to take bath. If ISKCON people do not go and take bath there, they will say, what is this ISKCON people? They are always little different from others, and that might hamper the preaching. So let us go with books in hand and take bath and distribute books. So this way we can, so do the what is normal thing. But we all know that the real nectar is when you come out and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. In fact, when our temple went for preaching in Kumbh Mela many years ago, the temple leader Radhanath Maharaj also took all devotees and took bath in the conference. So it's in parampara. You can take bath. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.